Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Happy Friday, Lit Sisners.
Hello, hello.
I hope you guys are all having a wonderful, happy Friday. And today is the first Friday of February, which, you know what? I will say this. We were just talking about how it felt like January was going so slow. But yeah. I also am like, I can't believe it's February.
I know. I think the thing is, it's like January took forever because there was so much that was happening and just it was such a long month. But now that it's actually February, I think I'm in denial because January was so long.
Like, I can see that.
We can't be February because
yeah,
like
it's still January
because it's been eons. So yes. I think that's where my mind is at of like, that makes way more sense. But actually I was yesterday when it was the first, I was like, wait, what day is it today? Like, I can't believe it finally has hit. It is actually
it's February now.
Yeah. So I definitely think that January was full of just a bazillion things and it just messed with our time and the way that we were perceiving the month, because I have a feeling since February is usually a short month that it's going to go by really fast, and then like next thing you know your birthday is going to be here and
I know
all this stuff. So it's just going to hit really quick and really hard,
and then it's going to be your birthday because your birthday is very shortly after mine.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, my birthday's at the end of February and yours is at like the middle end of March.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking like my husband and I were talking yesterday and he was like, ooh, it's your birthday month. And I was like, that's right. It is.
Enjoy
so we,
it.
Yeah. Anything I want, we're doing. I think it's really funny though, off topic, just talking about birthdays, how your son always talks about his birthday.
Yes.
And it's so funny to me because I was just visiting with you guys this week and he was talking about his birthday. And I was like, he's like, I'm just really excited because it's now that it's the new year, it's almost my birthday. Mm-hmm. Guys, his birthday is in July.
Yeah. He has a different perspective. He's like, yeah, for my birthday this weekend, like stuff like that. And it's like, dude, you got quite some time. I said, actually, everyone else in your family is going to have a birthday before you.
Yeah.
So
like,
you're going to have to be patient.
Literally everybody except for his uncle and his grandpa, all of our birthdays come before his, including his own brothers. Mm-hmm. But it's just so funny because he's always just like, it's almost my birthday. And we're like, you know what? You're right, buddy. It is almost your birthday. just after a ton of other people's birthdays. But not birthday related. Today, since it's the first Friday of February, we are going to talk about our love likes and dislikes for the month
now,
of January.
I will say, I thought I was starting off super strong and I talked about this before. Guys, nothing's changed.
Oh, no.
I know. But it's kind of good because now we're reading the same book.
That's so true.
I have been slow enough that you have gone through all your other ones to get to finally getting a copy of the book that I have been reading for a month almost. No less than that.
Did you
like
finish
3 weeks.
Any book in January?
I finished one book, thank you very much, and we did a review of it. Duh.
Oh, yeah. Midnight is the Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
So this episode is going to not take very long then.
Well, I also thought really quick after we do your love, like, and dislike, we can take a minute to talk about which books we are looking at without going into super detail, because Book of the Month just had their February books come out.
That is
so
true.
I thought we could talk about that. and say which ones that we're leaning on getting, and just like briefly, because we could do a whole conversation about which books we want to pick and why and analyze them. But because this is so fresh and so new and we always do our love, like, dislikes, I just thought, hey, really quickly, we should just throw that in at the end because I obviously don't have very much to talk about for myself.
Okay. All right. So I guess I will start with my love for the month. So for me, I had a couple of books that I rated 5-star. I think I rated 2. I actually read 12 books this month in January.
Wow. That's
I know. I'm super cool. Cooler than you. Yes. But I did read 12 books and I rated at least 2 with 5 stars. If I'm remembering correctly, I don't have it all in front of me at the moment. But I had one of my 5 stars was Midnight is the Darkest Hour, which we already have reviewed. My mm-hmm. other one is the one I will choose for my love right now, which is Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed this book. It's gotten a lot of excitement from the book world. I think it won, like, best, like, literary book of the year for Goodreads. Just very popular. And I completely understand why, because it is – the plot of the book is there's these two main characters who were in college together at Yale, and they were both writers. And one of them becomes, like, wildly successful – and the other one does not. Mm. And like littered in this wildly successful author, her friend kind of is under this impression that her wild success is in part related to the fact that she is Asian American and the other girl is white. And so there's a lot of like racial undertones and discussions about race within publishing, which was very interesting. And so one night when they're like celebrating the really successful author's Netflix deal, she ends up freakishly dying.
What?
And after just like, she like just shown her, like the other girl, like her new manuscript and like what she's been working on. And then she dies. She actually, I won't say how she dies, but she dies suddenly.
Is she there with her?
She is there with her when she dies. She watches it happen.
Oh my word.
And after everything, the EMTs come and all this kind of stuff, she takes the manuscript that was just finished, takes it home, and starts to work on it herself.
Okay, but don't people know that that isn't her writing?
No, because the way that
it's brand new.
It's brand new. She used to never tell people about her like works in progress, and her initial like draft, she would always like do like little notes on her like in her notebooks, and then she would type it all up in a typewriter, so no digital copy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So she took like that physical copy from the typewriter, which wasn't like a fully completed draft. Like there would be stuff like write about travel here and stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
So it wasn't 100% totally complete. So the friend's like, you know what? To honor my friend, I'm going to, you know, it starts with this whole thing where she's like, it would be so sad if like this was never completed. And I know Athena is the author that dies name. She's like, I know Athena's work and I know that she would hate to have, she didn't want anyone to see any of her work until it was absolutely perfect. So she's like, I'm going to help her finish this so that it can see the light of day. Mm-hmm. And so her potentially the best work she's ever written doesn't go unread just because she dies. And so she starts like writing and filling in the gaps and stuff like that. And then like she's also like the perspective is very like reflective, like self-reflective. So she'll say things like, I know I should have just said that this was a collaborative effort between the two of us, but you know what? I got rid of a ton of stuff that Athena wrote that was just always so highbrow and wasn't very like interesting to read. And it honestly became just as much my work as it was hers. I brought it to life. So she gives the manuscript to her agent as her own original work, and she sets herself in that lie for the rest of the book. So like the whole point of the whole part of the book is that she stole this work, toted it off as her own, and has to like lie to everyone forever, pretty much, about it, even when there is, like, potentially people who talk about, like, someone starts to, like, blackmail her, being like, I know that this isn't your work. So people start to question it. Some people start to question whether, because it's about, like, the book is, like, a war book about Chinese, Chinese, like, war camps and stuff like that. Like, these troops, these Chinese troops. And so people are like, should this white person have written a book about Chinese labor corps? And, you know, then she starts to change the name that she goes by. She uses her middle name, which is Song, which is, like, ethnically, like, gray. And all this kind of stuff that pops up. So it's a very much, like, a... It's interesting because you get to see both perspectives on, like, the racial conversation in publishing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you're in the perspective of... the girl, her name is June, who stole the book, as she continues to, like, tell everybody and convince herself that what she did was totally fine, even as it starts to wreck her life.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah. So interesting. Very interesting, very engaging.
Was it a short read then?
It was a short read. It was only 319 pages and it read much faster. So I did really enjoy it and I gave it 5 stars because it very much lived up to the expectation that was put upon it.
Yay! That's awesome. So good. It's always nice when that actually happens because sometimes there's hype and it just does not, not work out great.
I agree. So would you say that the single book that you read in January would be like your love or your like?
See... That's a hard question. I'm gonna say love just because. Sorry, I got some beeping going on here. My lovely car trying to let me know what I'm doing. I would say it's a mixture, which sounds horrible because, and I will explain myself. It's a mixture because I really did enjoy the book. I would say a lot of it was enjoyable for me to read. Midnight is the Darkest Hour is what we're talking about here. And we already did our review on it. So if you want all my thoughts, go for it. Go ahead and check out our full episode about that. But I think the reason I'm kind of hesitant to say love is because honestly, I am very much enjoying the book that I am reading right now that I have been reading.
Okay.
And so like, I think if I had pumped it out faster or had given myself time or had time to actually dedicate to giving, you know, multiple hours to be able to just pump it out and read it and just embrace the whole thing, then I feel like that maybe would have won out for love because I really am enjoying it. I really like the writing of it. I love the storytelling of it. And it just like, in a way, like I feel like I tried to give you a couple examples. It's kind of like a Lessons in Chemistry or even a little bit like A Little Life in a way. Like stuff like that where it's like you are in these people's lives and they are like fairly popular or there's something going on like with Lessons in Chemistry. I'm thinking like when she's like on the TV show and stuff like that. It's like there is this like perspective of this person and like these people like, wow, they're so amazing. And this is like how it all started. So it's like this awesome story. And you just are so focused on the characters themselves and you're so captivated in how the story is being told and how it unfolds and the ins and outs and the like, it's not boring is what I'm saying. Like everything I feel like just flows. And so like with Midnight is the Darkest Hour, I just feel like it's a completely different book where it's like, yes, it's character focused, but it's a lot of moral ambiguity and it's a lot of like, ooh, this was kind of creepy. And like, there's just different elements to it. That's like not like, they just are in completely different worlds. And so like, I am going to say Midnight is the Darkest Hour is my love because I actually do really like it 4.5 stars. But I think for me, I have a hard time again, like I said, giving it the full love for sure, because of how much I really am enjoying the book that I, you know, would actually have wanted to be done, but I don't have done yet. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm
at.
Does that make sense at all?
Yes.
And I also read Midnight is the Darkest Hour like a month ago. So it's like not, I literally read it very beginning of January and pumped it out within like 2 days. So it's something that like I haven't read for a little while. And so this other book has been taking over my
last month.
Yeah, it's a little more fresh and it's what I've been chewing on for longer. So
that's totally understandable.
Why. Yeah. Yeah. But, all right. Okay. So you're like, so out of all the 12 books, did you have like, I didn't really say this earlier, but I know you said you had 2 5-stars. How many like likes then were you dealing with? And then how many like dislikes?
Man, it really
depends.
You don't
have to give, I guess you don't have to give the exact number, but like,
I mean,
you know, overall,
I think I had 2 that I would consider a dislike, maybe a third. So it was pretty much, it was a pretty enjoyable month to be fair, honestly.
Good.
So my like was First Lie Wins by Ashley Elston. And I read that and Yellowface fairly close together, like back to back. And what I really liked about First Lie Wins is it was a book of the month for me. And it was described as a thriller, but it was very different of a thriller than you would expect. So I thought it was going to be more of a domestic thriller. It's like this girl, her job is to like take on different, she has like a boss that gives her clients who are marks that she has to kind of get close to and get something from them, like a document or blackmail or something like that. So she kind of takes on a different, like a new like persona. And while she's working a case, someone comes in with her like biological, like legal name, pretending to be her.
Wait a second.
And she's like, "That's me. Oh, hold up." And she looks very, very similar to her. And so I thought that like that was going to be like the crux of like the story, but it ends up being so much bigger than that. And it ends up being more like a spy mixed with like a catch me if you can kind of story, which I really, really, really loved because I thought it was going to be more just like her and then the other girl like kind of going at each other, but it ended up being like a much more bigger, like systemic issue that she's trying to tackle. And that was just like a small speed bump in the middle of like this bigger, like master, like plan situation. So it was very different. I would say it was more just like a, almost like a domestic spy thriller in a way, but they're not like government spies. They just like take on different lives and stuff like that. So that was just, it was just so interesting, so different than I expected. I really got connected with the characters. I wasn't a super huge fan of how like things resolved in the sense of like the characters like storyline, because I think it went a little bit more like, I don't know, like the whole book was being a little bit like very like dramatic, which was good. Yeah. Like it needed to be dramatic. And the ending, I felt like it was a little bit less dramatic.
Okay.
It reminded me of the way that I was disappointed in the end of the Gone Girl ending, where I was like, all of this stuff has happened. And then it just is, that's the ending. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it made me feel a little bit. But the book itself was super good, very different than I typically read and very different than what I expected it was going to be. So it was definitely like a very, very enjoyable book. I really liked reading it a lot.
Oh, good. Yeah, it sounds like makings of a really good novel. It's just maybe a couple elements that fell a little flat, but not in a bad way, just maybe not as like a 5-star amazing. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. Sometimes you need a couple like that, you know?
Yeah, just a little bit different than I typically expect, which was very good.
All right. And then dislike, one of those 2 stars, I guess you gave.
Yes. So the one that I felt like I could talk the most about without having to talk about a spoiler as to why I didn't like it is The Second Chance Year by Melissa Weisner. And this was advertised as a romance, but let me tell you, not very romantic.
Really?
Yeah, like it was. So the plot was about this girl who has a really terrible year, and you get into the story at the end of her terrible year, and she sees this like fortune teller, and she asks for like a redo, and she does. She wakes up the next day, and it's January 1st of the year that she just lived. And so she's like, "Oh, perfect! Like I have my redo. I'm gonna do everything I can to make the things that went wrong not happen. And so some of the things that went wrong was like she lost her relationship and she lost her job. And both of those things are related to the fact that like pretty much she can't like shut her mouth. It's pretty much like what had happened. So like there were like she was around like her boyfriend's coworkers and his coworker was saying something really sexist, which he should not be saying anyway. But she like screamed at him and called him out in front of like everybody. And it made things super awkward in the previous year. But instead of like finding a happy medium of how to deal with it, she ends up just like not saying anything, which is like also not a super great lesson that you're supposed to be like teaching is like, yeah, people shouldn't be sexist, but that also doesn't mean in order to get everything you want, you got to just not say anything at all. But that was kind of, and like similar things happened at her office space where like, she was a pastry chef and like, she was a victim of like some harassment, and instead of like stopping it or like refusing it or like, not refusing it, like, not, or like speaking up against it or, you know, calling it out or whatever, she kind of just like allows it to happen because she wants a promotion, which I feel like if you talk to any other woman, I don't think many women would continue to suffer that kind of like sexual abuse in a workplace. So that just felt a little unrealistic to me. And on top of that, the romance is supposed to be between her and her brother's best friend that she's known since she was a kid. So at the end of her very bad year, she like the last 4 months of it, she ends up living with him because she like loses her job and she doesn't have enough money to keep her rent. So she moves in with this guy and they like pretty much don't interact very much from what we're told, because we don't see any interactions from them except for one in the previous year. So the only interaction we see between them is that she comes back from like, the New Year's Eve party with the fortune teller and he's like playing the piano and they like get really close and then they like kiss and then he's like, this is a mistake. And then she goes to bed and the next morning it's a year ago and she's never lived in his apartment with him. But like there was no other like fun, like little like way to bond with them as a couple. In any other capacity. So all you have is like her reflecting on those 4 months that she lived at his apartment from the previous year, but we see no scenes from that at all. So it's just her talking about, you know, I do really miss hanging out with him and being around him. And I'm like, okay, but yeah, like, but what did you do? So, yeah. And then in the do-over year, she does interact with him again, but like he doesn't have any of those memories from the previous year that we also don't have, but she does. Yeah. And so she tries to like reconnect with him and they have like maybe one or two scenes together in the whole, like just the two of them in the whole do-over year. And then like suddenly she's like in love with him, and which is, it feels like it could have been fleshed out a lot more. It felt like it was kind of trying to mix together like a book about how to like how to be a better person. And with romance.
Also like, yeah, like also what if she gets a second chance at love or yeah, something?
But like neither were fleshed out very well. Like it felt like they were both half done because like I said, the lesson that she kind of learns is that like in the end, like her mom even has a conversation with her where she's just like, sometimes to get ahead as a woman, you have to act behind or something like that and take these things. And it's like, that's not a good lesson at all. And then the other half of it is the romance where, like, she barely has this connection with this guy. And then suddenly they're, like, head over heels in love. And you're like, when did this happen? And then on top of that, since she's a pastry chef, for some reason, there are all of these, like, baking similes and metaphors throughout the whole thing. So, like, at one point, like, instead of saying something was crystal clear, she said it was sugar crystal clear. And it's like, that doesn't need to be in there. And so it was just endless, like endless. And a lot of other people complained about that as well. So I felt justified in it, but other people thought it was cute. So I think it just kind of depends on your perspective and your personality. But for me, this was not it.
Yeah, I can see that definitely. And, you know, to each their own. We've always said that.
Okay, so let's just briefly talk about, there are, I feel like, a lot of good options on Book of the Month this month.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a lot.
Yeah. So would you like to brief us on some ones that sounded pretty good to you?
Yeah. So what I've got here for Book of the Month is, I think there are six selections, which is awesome. We've got The Resort by Sarah Ox.
I think Ox, maybe.
Yep. The Mayor of Maxwell Street by Avery Cunningham. We have Ready or Not by Kara Bastone. The Fox Wife by Yang C. Chu. Kristen Hanna's The Woman.
Whoop, whoop!
Heartless Hunter by Kristen Ciccarelli.
Okay.
And then some pretty good add-ons. Yeah. I know we don't need to go through all of those, but we were just at we were just at Barnes & Noble the other day, and we saw a couple of these that were already on display. So that's pretty cool. Some of them are definitely sounding like, it just sounds like we're off to a great start here.
I really think so.
The beginning of 2024. We've got some good books that are being released. A lot of things that are probably going to last into the rest of the year, just hitting everything strong.
Yes, I 100% agree. So for myself, of those main picks, I think I'm going to go with The Woman and the Ready or Not book.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So Ready or Not is a romance. And it says, a surprise pregnancy forces a young Brooklynite to take stock of her life, uncovering a romance hiding in plain sight. Sounds super cute. And I really liked the little snippet of the chapter.
Me too. Really, I read that too. It was super cute.
Yeah. And obviously, Kristen Hanna, you can't go wrong.
Cannot go wrong.
It's going to be so good. Tracing a coming of age and a nation gravely divided, an epic tribute to unsung female heroes of the Vietnam War.
Love it. She always does historical fiction so well.
Okay, so I'm like totally blanking. What was the one that she did right before this?
Because the Four Winds.
A little bit. The Four Winds.
2021, Four Winds.
Yes. I was going to say, it's been a bit. It's been a minute. So I'm excited. I did think about adding this one to my box, but I knew for sure you were getting it. So yes. I was like, you know what? Mad's for sure going to get it. I'm going to wait on that.
Yeah.
Because not that I won't eventually probably want my own copy, but I don't need to get it right now. A, I have a bazillion things to read. And two, Mad's already getting it.
True.
So those are your two main picks. Are you doing any add-ons to
I am.
Time?
So I'm adding on The Fury by Alex Michaelides, which I wanted to add on last month, but I didn't have enough space. and then I am also adding on, oh, I'm looking at it, Neighbors and Other Stories by Diane Oliver. I thought it was so interesting that it's a set of short stories, which is not normally my thing. But what I loved about it is, one, I wanted to try and buy from a Black author because it is Black History Month in February, and there were a couple Black authors that were featured, and I almost wanted to go with the Mayor of Maxwell one because I thought that one sounded really good. This one, just because of the author, I really wanted to read it. So it's a group of short stories by Diane Oliver, and it has never been published like in a large audience like this before. And she actually passed away in 1966 at 22. So now, decades later, her words are being published to a large audience. Like, I think previously they'd been held like privately. But all of these stories are now being made public. And I was like, that is amazing. So I got that book. And then I also got The Disappearance of Astrid Brickard by Natasha Lester, which is one of the books that we saw at Barnes & Noble, which is described as kind of like Daisy Jones and the Six and something like in a missing person situation. And when the person who was writing about it described it, they said that, like, as a fan of Project Runway, there's not a lot of books that they've read about fashion. And let me just tell you, we loved Project Runway growing up. So
I have literally been binging a Project Runway season on Netflix.
Oh my gosh.
Last week.
So has mom.
I know. Anytime I have a downtime like moment, or like when I'm trying to get ready for bed or something, it's like, oh, because I just like, I watch them see their challenge. I watch them pick out their stuff and work on their projects and get, you know, some stuff around. But all of the like background conversation, I just fast forward through all that.
Oh,
and then
nice.
I'm like,
yeah,
competition, who's in, who's out, move on, next episode. Like, I just pump those things up.
Mom would watch them, and so I would sit there with her and read, and then like turn my head towards when they were actually like showing the fashion, because I agree, like the stuff in between's not my favorite either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a good description and made me want to get it even more.
Well, yeah, I was definitely intrigued by that one as well, especially when we saw it at Barnes & Noble. So I am glad that you've got it. And I think for me, I wasn't super drawn to the little snippet that they had of it.
Understandable.
Just with the writing. But like, if you read it and you say, oh no, this is just like Daisy Jones, or this is just like whatever, or something that you know that I would enjoy, like, then I will definitely throw it back on my TBR for sure.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan. All right. So, and then what did you get?
Yeah. So for me, really quick, I'm trying to limit myself, you guys. Obviously, I'm slow moving at the current moment, which is not fun, but it just is what it is right now. The Resort by Sarah Ox, I think I'm going for.
Okay.
It says, welcome to the party. This remote Thai islands might have dead bodies piling up, but don't fret. Here, have a drink.
I love that little snippet.
Everybody who works at this Thai resort on this island all kind of had like secret lives before they got there, but there's this code of like, you don't talk about who you used to be or what you used to do. But apparently someone comes to the island and like starts to reveal stuff like that. Is what my guess is, like, kind of the vibe I'm getting. Like,
yeah
past information starts to get revealed and it's like, ooh.
I think it sounds so good. It was one of the ones I really wanted, but when you were like talking about getting it, I was like, no, I can read it from you.
Yes. And then I don't think I'm going to do an add-on, but I did add quite a few to my TBR. But one of the add-ons I added was Good Material by Dolly Alderton.
Okay.
Which the snippet is hilarious.
The snippet's so funny.
Says a stand-up comedian tries to find insight and humor in the disastrous end of his relationship with the woman he loves. And the snippet is literally like, these are the reasons why I'm supposed to not like this lady. One, she's late to everything. Two, like, he just like goes through and he's like trying to convince himself he doesn't love her and the reasons why he should not love her. And I feel like that seems like such a fun, lighthearted story, but maybe also could get a little introspective as well.
Oh,
and sometimes
for sure.
You just need something like that, that you can fly through and laugh at. So I added that to my TBR. I have not yet submitted my box, so I still have the potential to grab this one. Because I feel like it's just gotta be so fun. And I love that their little emojis are emotional, LOL, buzzy, and millennial. I am a millennial, so I was like, oh, maybe it'll appeal to me. I just think those are so funny.
Funny. All right, sounds so good. Well, I hope that you add that one on, because I thought that one sounded very interesting as well.
I'm very tempted. Definitely tempted.
I thought there were some really good options this month for sure.
And I even added some of the TBR from some of those other selections, like what was that one? I'm going to look it up really quick. It's The Fox Wife. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And Heartless Hunter. You know, I'm a big fantasy person, but this is essentially like, instead of cat and mouse hunting, it's like witch and witch hunter hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, she's pretending to not be a witch. He's pretending to not be a witch hunter, but they both secretly know. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that Chloe Gong series, D's Violent Delights, where it's like Romeo and Juliet style. And I'm kind of getting vibes like that. But
that's exciting.
I already have like so many other books on my TBR that are either like magic or witch related that I like. Like, I enjoy books like that, or fantasy, but I just have no time. So I'm like, you know what? Save for another time. Mark it as a TBR, and I will come back to it when I feel like I actually have the mental capacity to read all of these things.
Probably a good decision in the end of it all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. So thank you so much for sticking with us in this episode of Lit Sis as we talk about our LLDs and a little bit about our book of the month for February. I'm super excited to see how these books fall. And Haley, what is it? What book are we both reading together right now?
The same one I've been reading for 3 months. No, just kidding. 3 weeks. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin.
Yes, we are. And you are a lot further than me, but we will see. I have a little bit of downtime this afternoon. Maybe I'll get some reading.
You're going to pump it out. You're for sure going to pump it out.
We'll see. All right, you guys. Thanks for taking a break from reading. Now go flip.